With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I see today with Newsprint Frey, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Liverpool are back and Arsenal face Manchester United. It's Friday, 29th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Tyrone Mings.
I'm Vidushin Antaraja.
It was you, Luke Moore, all along. Pretending to be Tyrone. My goodness. Did you see that Mings, he retweeted that, didn't he? That what we were talking about the other day, to oust some little sausage who was pretending to be him.
I mean, I'm not above pretending to be someone else, obviously. Marcus, as you know, I regularly went back when the pandemic wasn't around, I would regularly go to the club and pretend to be you so I could get all the plaudits.
My reputation went through the floor.
I know, I had all the boys around me. And
But they did say, Marcus, we now think you're a bit of a naughty sausage, but my goodness, we didn't realise you could moonwalk that
well. What a dancer, but what a dancer. And I also regularly go into the old members at place at Lords and pretend, because I pretend to be Vish, so why not pretend to be Tyrone Mings as well?
Yeah.
They would never let me into that joint, and I would never want to be a part of that joint.
No, fair enough.
I should say, yeah.
Joint.
Yeah.
Calling it a joint means you're never going to get in.
Well, exactly, yeah. I'm just rallying against it.
Yeah. Vish, if they asked you to join, you would, though, let's be clear.
I don't know that I would. Lords is a kind of funny place. Genuinely, the first time I went to Lords to cover a game, I had to go into the pavilion to do an interview, and some old drunk bloke who had passed out stopped me on the stairs and said that if I was part of the help, that I shouldn't come in my own clothes.
Right.
So that's Lords. Okay. That's a little
that's
bit
nice.
Of Lords for you.
Very nice. Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Don't ever join them.
No. never.
Oh, my goodness. Gentlemen, we were treated to a good game last night. Spurs won Liverpool 3, of course. We enjoyed the first time they played this season at Anfield, which was a great game. This one, though, a little touch more one-sided, you'd say, Vish, with obviously Liverpool winning. Klopp said that they knocked the wall down, which I don't know if he's sort of trying to get in Joe Biden's good books or something like that, but it wasn't quite the wall that it was in the first game at Anfield.
Is it now a wall then? Because it used to be a bus and now it's a wall.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, a bus can move, whereas a wall's a bit more static, so
depends who's
perhaps
built it.
Perhaps a wall is more accurate with some of that Spurs defending.
There was a point in the second, the beginning of the second half when Liverpool got that second goal where I thought this could be a pasting. And then, Højbjerg gets that equaliser. And I think, well, actually, maybe been a bit of a weird season. And then it kind of corrected itself. And yeah, Liverpool looked like the Liverpool of old, didn't they? I think it was the first time I watched them and I thought, okay, suddenly everything's in sync. And I wonder how much of that is due to the fact that Firmino had one of his better games this season. He always seems to do well against Spurs as well. And he's a good wall breaker. He's got the gnashers to chew into a wall, isn't he? So maybe that's
does.
It, yeah.
Yeah, I think, Luke, that it was obviously Liverpool have struggled a little bit since the new year. And I think that this is it almost as if they needed a game like this to kind of kick them back into reality.
Yeah, and if I was a Spurs fan, I'd be annoyed about that.
yeah, sure.
because it feels a bit like, you know, we're talking about the opposite thing that I expected us to be talking about, which was the fact that Spurs, particularly in the second half, didn't really offer much. They looked defensively quite frail, yet I expected to this morning to be talking about how Liverpool really need to address their centre-back problem as soon as possible, which of course they do, because I totally agree with what I think it was Rio Ferdinand was saying last night, that, you know, it's not just affecting the defence, it's affecting their midfield, because they're having to take people from midfield to deputise in defence.
Well, and I thought Rio was going to offer his services for a moment.
Well, Jamie Carragher actually did on Twitter.
Yeah, lovely.
He said, the only thing that will make tonight better is if I get the old call. And from Jürgen, to be fair to Jamie, I mean his legs weren't the best when he was in his peak, so yeah. I mean, I'm not sure he'd get the nod now. But
Jürgen, we're not going to play a high line, are we?
Yeah, exactly. I won't be leaving the penalty area, so build around that if you can. But the point is that the reason I think it's frustrating, and I think we should absolutely acknowledge that Kane going off, picking up an injury, is of huge concern, not just for last night, but for the coming weeks for Spurs. That did have a huge impact on the game, and it would be remiss not to mention that. But what I do think is surprising is that regularly it seems to me that Spurs cede control of games, and they don't, particularly in the second half of games, they don't particularly look to impose themselves. And it's just really difficult to see the pattern of play or the style of play or what Mourinho is going for. Because to me, it just seems like common sense to think, well, look, Liverpool are a good team, but they're not in great form. They've not been scoring goals and they've got a real problem at the back. So let's at least bear that in mind. It felt to me like they didn't really ever look like they could have hit that, pushed that advantage home. Now, I know it's easier said than done. I think you guys are right. Firmino was great. And Liverpool did look, they showed at least glimpses with a threadbare kind of defence, even, that they could be returning back to what they were before. But, I mean, this season is very difficult to predict.
Well, it is, yeah. You mentioned obviously Liverpool's defence there. I mean, Henderson played well at centre half, you'd have to say. Joel Matip picked up an injury.
Which is a shame, because he looked all right.
Yeah, it is a big shame. But what about Spurs' defence, though, Vish? I mean, that first goal, how on earth have Dier and Lloris sort of...
It's frustrating.
...managed to kind of let Firmino in there? If you're a Spurs fan, right on the stroke of half-time, you know, Spurs started the game well. You know, Son, just a fraction offside, you know, they were playing their normal game. But then Liverpool come back into it. Obviously, Mane missed a chance early on. But that goal, it felt so avoidable. In fact, all three goals, you could say, looked so avoidable. But to go in at half-time, 1-0 down, and then it all hell broke loose, apparently, in the dressing room. I mean, that is just, it's gutting, isn't it?
Oh, what do you reckon that was, Vish?
So Serge Aurier obviously left at half-time. Certainly, that's what's been reported from reputable people, so we can assume it's true. I don't know. There was. Do you reckon he's like slapped someone? Do we reckon there was like? But like, what could it? What could?
What I'm kind interested
of,
in like
because footballers don't fight, do they? Footballers
no,
don't.
Exactly.
It's never fisticuff. It's always a bit of hold me back. So
sometimes if you're in South America, the odd flying kick. But I've been in Sunday league dressing rooms where it's kicked at half time, and it's quite frightening.
Have you?
Yeah, it's quite frightening.
Well, hang on.
Yeah,
Sunday league. You actually would return to a dressing room.
Yeah.
Really? Just not being at the side of the pitch?
You'd have probably a handful of pitches where they'd have dressing rooms and you go into them, yeah. You wouldn't always.
Yeah.
I've seen people get really pissed off in at half-time in games and stuff and start chipping off and throwing stuff around. Definitely.
We were always winning at half-time.
Oh, is that right? Yeah,
the plan was always executed.
Well, they give you 10 minutes at the end then because it's safe. The result's safe. You bring markers on now.
I used to go around the huddle and in various different accents, bring Marcus on, bring Marcus on, bring Marcus on.
I can't imagine what, I mean, hopefully we'll get to see it in a series of All or Nothing or something, but I can't imagine what it all kicking off at half time. And the thing was, if that is true, sorry, Vish, I know you're going to come in on this, but very, very quickly, if that is true, it's kind of fascinating because they can see it just before half time and they can see it just after half time. So you could argue like a total meltdown around that portion of the game has essentially lost the game for them.
Yeah, there was obviously that incident last season with Lloris and Son. And you know, it was Son having a go at Lloris and Lloris having a go back. So I imagine, you know, given the way that goal was conceded, Dier could have done a bit better, but Lloris, who's got the better view of that, who is less likely to, you know, concede an own goal as Dier was, who has to take control of that situation.
I agree. Yeah.
I sound a little bit like Luke Moore there, but Luke, your big thing is like, if you're a goalkeeper, just clear everyone out, you know, just go in and get involved.
Big Pav would have sorted that out.
I think he would have done, and I think yeah, there would have been bodies if Big Pav was involved.
Oh, Big Pav would have saved it, and Firmino would have twisted his ankle, ended up with a twisted ankle. Goodness knows what would have happened to Dier, yeah. But they'd have gone in at 0-0.
I've seen a ball come over the top of me defending when Big Pav's been in goal, and just heard an enormous keeper roar, heard a load of commotion, and he's come running past with the ball and booted it about 50 miles. I looked round, and it's been like a battlefield. Bodies. So yeah. I think you're absolutely right on that goal. It's totally key because and I thought Lloris got quite a lot of stick last night in the analysis on the telly. And I think it was probably a little bit harsh because I think Lloris is still decent.
He's made quite a few high-profile mistakes.
He's not an improving keeper, for sure, but yeah. I still think he's all right. I mean, that second mistake he made where he kind of powder puff palmed it was a little bit of a mistake as well, wasn't it?
I would say.
Yeah. Just thinking back to that ruckus between Son and Lloris, in All or Nothing, they go into the changing room and you realise the Spurs changing room is so big.
Mm. Yeah.
That you could get quite a decent kind of fight in there. You know, like some of those fight scenes from films where they just break through walls. You'd just be in the same room, constantly rolling over each other.
There's also an even bigger one in the Spurs stadium because they have separate dedicated NFL dressing rooms in that stadium as well. And they're even bigger because I've been in those as well. I've actually went to an event in one of those and it was so big it could have a whole big event in it. I guess because NFL squads are so much bigger. But look, I don't know. I think I detected a lot of frustration from Spurs fans on Twitter last night. A lot of my friends support Spurs, kind of similarly frustrated. And it's important, obviously, not to, as Andy always says, it's important not to kind of read too much into a single game. But, I mean, to me, it feels a bit like, as I said, you're at home. Liverpool haven't been in great form. They're not scoring goals. They're not the team they were last season. Can you push your advantage home? And it's just frustrating that you can't.
Yeah, I think that's the crux of Mourinho football, though, isn't it? Like, when it's going well, you can...
Too reactive.
Yeah, when it's going well, you can think, okay, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. And then when you get a game like last night, you find yourself in a situation where, you know, your only shot in the second half is the goal to go 2-1 up that's hit in the 48th minute from range, you know, a bit of hit and hope from a bloke who hasn't scored in 2 years.
And nice goal, though. Come on.
It was a very nice goal, but it was, you know, the we're going to talk about Kane, aren't we? Because that is a huge elephant in the room with regards to how Mourinho wants to play. And it's so instructive that when he had to bring him off at halftime, he didn't bring on Vinicius. You'd think if he had any faith in the system they were playing in that first half, which up until the dregs of that first half was doing quite well, you'd bring on Vinicius and keep the shape around him. But then playing Son through the middle and bringing on Lamella, it felt a bit like, well, you know, you clearly just don't trust people, which is why it was a freak injury, we should say, that Harry Kane got, but it's why he's kind of been running to the ground. And
it happens every single year.
It does. Yeah.
I think with Spurs, you know, the danger is with Mourinho and so on, is that there is that kind of glass ceiling with his football, which football has sort of moved on a bit, of course. I mean, Jonathan Wilson argues that absolute top level managers, a bit like some footballers, you know, they have a shelf life at the top. Sometimes, perhaps because we were used to Sir Alex Ferguson, we think they can go on and on and on and on at the top level, but he's one of the greatest managers, people would argue, perhaps the greatest manager of all time. Whereas with Mourinho, he has had a little bit of a renaissance at Spurs in some regards, but I think the frustration for Spurs fans is there does seem to be that ceiling there, and Klopp's Liverpool are above that ceiling, and it's a little bit frustrating. But I was interested in what Peter Crouch was saying when he was imploring Kane to not leave Spurs for Real Madrid and all this kind of stuff. And I did think to myself, I know we've had this chat before with Harry Kane, but you know, if they do get to the summer, and then no, they don't have a trophy. You know, Kane will look around at some of the top strikers in Europe. They'll, I don't know, to take, say, Benzema, for example, or even Lewandowski. Now, people might not think he's operating at that level, but if he's not far off, you would say. He sees them with Champions League winners' medals and league titles and all the rest of it. And he's not getting any younger. He's not old, of course. And it all sort of links into this kind of thing about Mourinho's style, well, not necessarily style, but where it can lead this team. And again, if they don't invest heavily in the summer, but even if they do, Luke, do you think that do you see what I'm saying here? And this could ultimately maybe lead to Kane kind of having a good old look at.
He could move to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, well, in time.
It's possible, yeah. Look, I don't know Harry Kane, obviously. I don't know what his kind of major motivation is. I know he's come through at Spurs and he loves the club and all the rest of it, and he gets paid very well now for playing there. Obviously, he's England captain as well. It's probably a bit frivolous to argue where his motivations or what his ambitions are, but I presume they are to win things. And, you know, I don't necessarily subscribe to that whole thing about Mauricio Pochettino wasn't a good manager because he didn't win any trophies. I mean, he revolutionised that club in quite a big period of transition and they moved into the new stadium, got to a Champions League final, etc. But I am of the opinion that Kane is probably the second best forward in the world, probably behind Lewandowski, in my opinion. So I think he's right up there. I would, if I was a Spurs fan, I would be concerned about this repeated problem he has with his ankles, because that's obviously traditionally a very difficult injury to sort out. If you're still talking about straining and stretching ankle ligaments, it's you know, before long you need operations and you need to keep tightening them and keep sorting them out, and it can be difficult, particularly if you're someone who relies on kind of explosive reactions like a top level sports person. So look, it's who knows what's going to happen. I did really enjoy the idea that when Kane went down injured in that game last night, he went down injured at the same time as Eric Dier, and the physios came running on and both of them completely ignored Eric. So it was, we have absolutely no doubt where the priority of triage lies among the medical staff at Spurs. Straight to Kane. Like, yeah. Dyer was like, I don't know if Dyer felt a bit put out by it, but Kane was 100% the priority.
Yeah.
It would have been great if they went over to Dyer and he's like, oh, finally, and they just started hacking at his ankles. Like, no, we need one of these.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I do think that Spurs' title ambitions have probably been finished off there, but then stranger things have happened.
They're not a title winning team. They've got a really good first 11. If they can maintain fitness and form, that then they can do. They could probably go top four, but they're not a title winning team. I don't think they've got enough about them to win the title. And Fish, what do you think?
Well, I mean, we're going to find out a lot about where Kane's ambitions are going to lie, or certainly the decision is going to be made that little bit clearer for him, because if he's out for a month, that's, he's going to miss 9 games across 3 different competitions now.
Yeah.
So that's going to, I think that'll determine where they'll end up at the end of the season, certainly what they'll fight for. So
he got injured last season and it kind of worked in his favour when the football stopped for like 3 months, and when it came back, he was back again. Obviously that's not going to happen this time. So yeah, he's going to miss an awful lot of games. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Liverpool back in the title race. Of course, Manchester City are the pace setters. Manchester United, are they still in the title race? They go to Arsenal on the weekend. Sadly, before we talk about the football, there's more racist abuse that's reared its ugly head this time on social media. It was after Wednesday's game. Tuan Zebe and Martial were the subject of its targets of it, sadly. Manchester United came out with quite a strongly worded statement saying that they were disgusted by the actions of these anonymous mindless idiots. I'm sure everybody listening to this is behind those statements as well. But Luke, you've often said, as other people have had, that, you know, social media companies need to take responsibility for tackling this abuse, and it seems to be that the government may finally bring in some laws around this.
Yeah, it looks like there's going to be some movement. I don't know precisely exactly what it is, and I think the government have met with some of the decision makers in football as well this week, maybe earlier this week, about doing something about it. And the big argument against kind of getting rid of anonymity on social media, so basically there's two parts to this as far as I understand. One is that the argument against anonymity on social media is that in places where it is an oppressive regime, where it's difficult to say things publicly or to put your name or face to something, things like social media can provide a very helpful kind of way of getting your message out there. And we saw that happening with things like the Arab Spring a number of years ago, and I understand that. But the problem is, in this country, is that people are doing this because they can anonymously get away with it, and then you bracket that up with the idea that Twitter and Facebook hide behind the idea they're just content aggregation platforms, and therefore they aren't subject to regulation, which is absolutely ridiculous in 2021. Yeah. So there are two things that can happen straight away. Particularly in Western countries, you can say, if you want a social media account, which isn't a right, it's not something no one owes you a social media account, you need to sign up for it and you need to put your ID on there. And secondly, as soon as Facebook or Twitter decide they want to get involved in how they promote content or curate it, then they should be subject to regulation. Now, that's not going to solve the fact that people, you know, arguably have been brought up to be racist. And you know that there is an element of that it treats the symptom rather than the cause. I mean, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, the other side to that abuse is the fact that, I mean, it's just a fucking game. Like, it's just a game. It's not that important. Players underperform all the time. And the fact that people feel they have a right to abuse a player for playing badly and to do it in that fashion and to try and reduce them to... Well, you know, the thing about racist abuse is it doesn't matter where it comes from. It strips you of your sense of person, and it makes you feel very, very small and makes you feel very alone as well. And so it doesn't matter how much Anthony Martial is being paid. It doesn't matter how much Chwanzebe is being paid. It is such a painful thing to read. And, you know, like in other situations, it might have just been water off a duck's back. But the fact that these people who you perceive to be above it all, are so affected by it, should tell you how powerful it is. And yeah, it's good that there's legislation coming in. I agree with what Luke said about holding people accountable for this kind of stuff. But yeah, it's just, I mean, we keep saying it's just not on, and it's fucking disgraceful, frankly. And yeah, the fact that we keep talking about it is important, because we need to keep highlighting it, as maddening as it can be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes we can lull ourselves into a false sense of security that, oh, that's been defeated, or oh, it's in, you know, there's not much of it to go, kind of thing. But yeah, sadly, this is happening so regularly. Gentlemen, if we can talk a little bit about the football as well. Obviously, Arsenal hosting Manchester United, it's a big game. Not as big as it was, Vish, of course.
not the glory days, is it? It's very much like when the Rolling Stones put out A Bigger Bang, right? You're like, okay, yeah, I know they're a big name, but I mean, they're not really necessarily doing their best stuff at the moment. And they're probably, are they ever going to again?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Luke, but they did, they were the first rock band, weren't they, to play Cuba when it kind of reopened up, which is well worth a turn of the head on Netflix. So, I mean, Vish, Manchester United, they could do with a win here to kind of really kind of stay in touch with Man City, because the way City are playing, it does look like they're just going to sort of win, which no other team looks like they're going to do. But after the disappointment with Sheffield United, you would say that this has to be a win, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know what the most annoying thing is? I thought I'd just enjoy this, you know, those run, that, well, certainly this unbeaten run that we went on until the Sheffield United game. And I thought to myself, you know what, just enjoy it. Don't try and look too much into
hope
it.
That kills you, baby.
Don't look too far ahead. And yeah, then losing that Sheffield United game, I was like, oh yeah, we're trash and I hate everyone now. If you look at the first game that United and Arsenal played, when Arsenal properly did a number on United at Old Trafford, it was at odds with certainly the way the two were playing. And now you come into this game and actually you look at Arsenal and they look very impressive. Emil Smith-Rowe's come in and done his thing, and you know, the younger players like Saka have continued on. But they've also seem to have quite a positive effect on the older players. Lacazette, for example, you know, probably some Arsenal fans might disagree with this, but I can't remember him being in better form for Arsenal. Certainly in form where he's having such a clear difference in the final third of the pitch, not just in front of goal. And you look at how they're playing and how engaging they are, and you can kind of see how United can resort back to their counter-attacking ways. But then, you know, there are issues with Martial to an extent. Bruno Fernandes looks cooked. Like, he looks so, so tired. and so, you know, other players are going to have to stand up.
But there was an amazing bit in the Sheffield United game where, I forget who it was brbreaking through. And Harry Maguire could see about 30 yards off that he was going to go past him. I mean, I've never seen a centre-back know so much. And this is me saying this. Probably the slowest centre-back to ever play any kind of level of football ever. I could see Harry Maguire 30 yards off thinking this guy's going to go past me. And then from nowhere, Bruno Fernandes tracks him all the way back, hooks around, makes a tackle and wins the ball and kind of gives it simple. And you're thinking, Bruno Fernandes, guys, can't do everything all the time. At some point, yeah, it is going to come back to bite him. And I found, I mean, sorry to cut you off, but I found if you look at that Sheffield United win against Man United, if you look at all the games that Sheffield United have lost in the league this season, 11 of them, count them, 11 of them have been by the odd goal. I don't think Sheffield United have been as bad as people perhaps assume they have. I think they overperformed last season, they're underperforming this season. And if you were to deliver any kind of complacency in your performance against Sheffield United, I think this is probably coming. And Man United absolutely did that. And it might well be that now for Arsenal, it's a difficult time to play them because Man United are going to take that as a kick up the arse. And so we may see a different United side in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the issues that Solskjaer has to address now is David De Gea. Like, I've defended David De Gea for quite a while, but I think it's coming to a situation where probably need to put Henderson in there, but do you do that for such a...
Have you been dragged into the headmaster's office with David one too many times now, Vish? Now you're ready. You're not making excuses for him anymore. He's just got to do his homework, and that's the end of it.
No, yeah. Because I just think, you know, we've invested so much into him that it's counterproductive to bin him off completely. But it just, him and Martial are two huge players for United, certainly in terms of the money they paid for them. That now probably I think should be withdrawn a bit, and
they paid that money a while ago though, didn't they?
You're suggesting that inflation means that it's not as bad as it was.
Like, well, so they're still prominent members of that squad. Still prominent members of that squad. Yeah. People, you know, loads of people were trying to bet against them. Then some fucking Reddit thing pops up, and now their price is going up again. You see,
that's the trouble, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, on the face of it, they should have never sold Fellaini as well. They put a lot of money into him. All right, gentlemen, let's go for a quick break. Before that, though, ladies and gentlemen, news I have to tell you is that a new episode of On the Continent landed yesterday. Dotton and Andy were joined by Lars Sivertsen to talk about the absolute chaos at Marseille, Papu Gomez's exit from Atalanta, a real gem for Sevilla, and the Bundesliga title race, where Lars gives a really insightful update about the Haaland transfer speculation going around at the moment. Well worth a listen, I would say. Just head over to Football Ramble Presents and it will be at the top of your feed. Right, let's have a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Wrestle Me This Week, we talked about the worst way to accept a Hall of Fame award.
They were just chanting, "You suck it.
You suck," and then he pours milk over
his head. Milk over
his
head.
What is this?
Pouring milk over yourself is absolutely something that if you did it once in any scenario, people would never forget it. We were just having Christmas dinner and like, you know, he just poured 2 litres of milk over himself.
Or if you're more in the mood for some awkward anecdotes, Alex shared his experience with the cast of Event Horizon on this week's Clash of the Titles.
We meet Smitty, played by Sean Pertwee, a man who I bumped into in a bar having never interviewed, and literally chewed his ear off, trapped him in a corner of a booth where he couldn't actually stand up and get away from me, and talked to him incessantly about this film. Later on in the night, his wife said to me, "Sean's outside if you want to carry on talking to him about Event Horizon."
All that and more at Sukarnov.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's now time for emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, or Kane, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Right then. Here's an email from Thomas Hughes, who says, "The chat about impersonators yesterday reminded me of a work experience week I did at Zoo Magazine."
Oh, no.
"God rest you, Zoo. We hardly knew you. We hardly knew you." It seems mad now, Zoo Magazine, to me. I mean, mental. Anyway, it was when Fabio Capello was in charge of England, and the draw was for the 2010 World Cup was about to take place. Thomas says, "I attended a photo shoot with the Fabio Capello impersonator who had to take pictures of him looking sad at what could be England's worst possible draw, happy at what we thought the best draw could be." So I guess they could use it for different purposes. All the while, he was flanked by two models in Zoo bikinis.
Obviously.
Yeah, because that's just how it was then.
Yeah. Even Sven, is it?
Exactly.
It's Fabio Capello.
"I couldn't think of a situation more out of touch with the real manager, but it turned out the impersonator was a cab driver from up north who obviously just couldn't believe his luck at all the side work he got when Fabio Capello was hired. One day driving a cab, the next day having pictures with models in a photo studio." It's amazing. Imagine if someone really famous, like someone becomes really famous and they look exactly like you. I'm thinking about you, Jamie Vardy impersonator. Something else that we've talked about quite a lot this week. So, worth considering.
There we are. Show at footballramble.com if you want to contribute to that kind of chaos. Right, gentlemen, we mentioned obviously Liverpool in the first half. They're away to David Moyes' West Ham on the weekend. Other than Manchester City, they're the team to beat. You've got to say they are the team to beat.
This is your new thing, isn't it?
What's that?
Your West
Pointing
Ham
out
thing.
Facts.
Facts. All right, Benitez.
Yeah.
Got Benitez on us.
You see, the trouble is with Vish, he's not keeping up with it. He's thinking, "Oh, it's just crappy old West Ham." Yeah. Mate, get with the program.
Oi, Vish, grow up, mate, yeah?
you try to sell me down the river with can West Ham do it? You try that again today.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm gonna leave this one through to the keeper.
Well, if it's David De Gea, you should be okay. But I mean, you're still burned from David Moyes' time at Manchester United. That wasn't fair, but he reportedly wants to overhaul the club's scouting system if he's given long term backing. West Ham currently have one scout.
Has one scout?
Yeah, I mean, and it probably a boy scout with the way they operate.
Yeah, I was going to say he got it from the local Arcala.
Got loads of cubs though.
You've got one
and,
scout, yeah, but he's
less
got his
about the beavers,
badge.
The better. But
don't say beavers regarding West Ham. You know exactly what you're doing there.
Vish, were you in the beavers?
No, isn't that little girls?
Nah.
No, I was in the Beavers, yeah. People from outside the UK.
Beavers, Cubs, yeah. Scouts, West Ham. It's the transition.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I stopped at Cubs. I did a bit of the Sea Scouts
for a bit.
So,
yeah, a bit of the Sea Scouts.
Are they the ones who sell cookies or tie knots?
No, yeah, so Sea Scouts tie knots.
Was that sailors?
Yeah, Sea Scouts tie knots. Because obviously I'm from Portsmouth, so it's all Sea Scouts. It's all that down there. And you got, it's basically just like being in the normal Scouts, but you've got to go like canoeing and stuff.
Sounds all right, actually.
But I stopped, because I wanted to play football instead.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I mean, we're having a bit of a laugh that they've got one scout, but that scout looks like he's or she's going to bring in Jesse Lingard.
I mean, you know, I'm not sure you can really blame the scout in this situation. I'm doing this on my own. What do you want? You hire me a couple of assistants, maybe build me a bigger team. Maybe I won't bring you Jesse Lingard. He's basically got Jesse Lingard in as a lesson to be learned for the team.
Yeah.
Is this doing the washing up badly?
Yes,
is it?
It is. Yeah, so you never get asked to do it again.
Yeah.
The thing about David Moyes, David Moyes, as you should probably call him, and I think you guys touched on this earlier this week, is that
Moyes.
He's had a really interesting managerial career because he does what he does at Everton, and he got that job at Everton because of what he did at Preston. And I haven't actually looked up the stats or anything, but I remember Preston being in the same division as Portsmouth around that time, and they were always pretty good. They were always kind of there or thereabouts. Then Moyes gets the Everton job, and he does well, and then he gets the Man United job, and we know what happened. But what's actually happened there is he's then been, by the media, bracketed into this kind of British managers who'll help you out a bit, almost a bit like a Pardew or an Allardyce or a Kerbishley. But actually, that's not necessarily that fair, because you could probably write off the Man United stuff. He did really well at Everton, and then he did okay at West Ham the first time round. So I wonder whether we're now seeing the start of a restoration of David Moyes' reputation, and arguably rightly so. Jim upgraded him to a hovercraft earlier in the week. I'm fine with that for now. I probably would have gone more of a nice catamaran. If he delivers top six for West Ham this season, he's fine to have the hovercraft by me.
Okay. So all I got from that is David Moyes is going to be on the hovercraft soon.
But beforehand, he was just a ferryman on the little kind of disgraceful, kind of terrifying rowing boat, wasn't he?
And before that, presumably a sea scout where he learnt his trade.
Yeah, I learnt under him, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so it could be a tricky game for Liverpool, although they have won 7 of their last 8 meetings. So
West Ham have won their last 4 in the league, though, Marcus.
There you are. You see, there's some facts for you, Vish, that you'll probably dispute. Yeah. Let's move on to West Brom versus Fulham.
You're a knob, that's a fact.
I must win. innocent until proven guilty.
I've got the proof, don't worry. I've got the other proof over it.
Can we do it in Scotland? Because I could get not proven, maybe. That might be my only hope.
With your bacon, friends.
Yeah. Have you got your bacon bucket there?
No. I had to hand it in.
He's put plants in them. Look, you can see.
When I told them to shove it because they wouldn't, they were too worried that I was a maverick, I handed in my badge and bucket.
those bacon pushers down at City Hall don't like it. They can have my bucket.
They don't know what it's like being on the front line.
Exactly.
On the smoked bacon front line.
You're good police when it comes to bacon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. They used to call me Serpico up there. Yeah. West Brom versus Fulham. A must win for both games, Vish.
Yeah.
That is a fact. They need points. They bloody need points. Who do you fancy, Vish, for this one? Go on.
I quite fancy Fulham, not just because... because I've like... My brain has turned to mush through so many different variables, a lot of them self-inflicted. But I realise that I'm really confident in Fulham now, having said that they'd get relegated as early as October, even before they award the Scottish League Cup. That's how confident I was.
Right.
and yet... Now my renewed confidence in them, or certainly my newfound confidence in them, comes at a time where they haven't won a game in 8, haven't won in 8 games.
It's been a while.
So
it has been
a while. But the performances within that seem, there seems to be something there, and like I think you've got stats about their dribbling. Like Lookman seems to help.
Let's brush over this. Hang on, let's just stop there for a minute.
Potatoes, mate.
The CIES Football Observatory, of which I'm a huge fan, or read all their publications.
Fully paid up
they
subscriber.
Recently listed Fulham as having the third highest dribbling average in Europe's top 5 leagues, only behind Lyon and PSG. Now, that is all to do with Ademola Lookman.
That's the good stuff, though, that.
That's a real quiz, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of Loftus-Cheek and Devil Dover Reed. But yeah, I think that's... That's quite impressive.
Would you, Marcus, would you take that if they could stay third in that list now, but Fulham
get
relegated? Would you take it?
Well, what's the other option?
The other option
is just a twist.
The other option is they go down to seventh in the CIES Football Observatory, but they stay up. Tricky one. Think about it.
Seventh and 17th, I'd take. as long as they're in the top 10, which would be.
I take great joy in a Sam Allardyce team losing a football match, chiefly because I can remember a game, although I can't remember the specifics. Vish, you might have even covered it, so you might be able to help me out here. But I can remember a game where Big Sam got some kind of positive result against a big team. It might have even been Surrey's Chelsea, maybe. And they might have got a draw or nicked a win or something. And the other team had something like 450 shots. And it was just one of those games. And in the post-match interview, Big Sam was like, all the talk was about how good the other managers are tactically, but I out-tacticked him today. And it's like, no, you fucking didn't. Yeah. What happened was, they didn't have their scoring boots on. They had a million chances and they didn't score. And you nicked out of it with a point or 3 points or whatever. And ever since then, I've thought, I'm not having it. I'm just not having it. So I hope Fulham give them a good old bashing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I do as well. But have you seen that Mbaye Diang has apparently undergone a medical in Turkey ahead of a loan move to West Brom, Galatasaray striker, of course. Now, he was supposed to sign for Anderlecht last season, but when he arrived at the train station in Brussels, representatives for both Anderlecht and Club Bruges were waiting for him, and he left with the Bruges rep with a jacket over his head and signed for them instead. You see that? Is Big Sam going to get ambushed like that?
He went to Club Bruges in the end, right?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, this is the same player who missed a penalty against PSG in the Champions League after ignoring instructions from his manager not to take it, and then got a fine and was suspended. I think
that'll teach you for kidnapping me.
And do you know what? And West Brom have looked at him and gone, "Yeah, that's what we need. It's exactly what we need."
Well, I think it is. I it's a pretty outrageous story, but you know, all's fair in love, war, and football transfers. It would seem. Mm. So there we are, gentlemen. Neil Warnock wouldn't be getting ambushed in any transfer business, though. I would say he's finally been reunited with Yannick Bolasie, which has been this transfer has been going on for a little while. Yannick has joined Middlesbrough on loan until the end of the season, which is what we like to see. Vish, we like Warnock to have a player who's got a little bit of quality as well, because he can kind of chase the long diagonals.
Yeah, well, this deal was actually going to get done in the first transfer window of this season, but they couldn't agree on the wages, and then.
Yeah,
they were also looking at Duncan Watmore back then, but they decided not to get him because they thought they were going to get Bolasie. They didn't get Bolasie, so then they got Watmore, and now they're getting Bolasie as well.
Yeah,
so it's having your cake and eating it, and then having another cake and eating that as well.
Yeah, but, he did. Warnock sort of he blamed Bolasie and his bloody agent, as he called him, for the transfer not happening.
Can you imagine how much Neil Warnock gets frustrated at agent? Just imagine it. I imagine it's probably the fuel that kind of keeps him going.
Yeah, I'd say.
The hatred for agents. Yeah. I like Bolasie. I haven't seen him play for a wee while, but I think he's a good player.
Well, according to Warnock, you know, we can't expect wonders, but he's a good lad. He'll be good in the dressing room.
I'll get me in. I'll crack some jokes.
It's amazing.
He's Bolasie spent quite a lot of time tweeting about. He's basically done like an Aldi version of what Mesut Ozil's doing in that, or what Ozil was doing when he wasn't playing at Arsenal, in that he's tweeting about the games, but he was critiquing them kind of a little too, I suppose, you know, neutrally. So he would say, like, oh, you know, we didn't do this well, we didn't do that well. And he's also massively into his cricket.
Oh, right.
And I don't know where that's from, actually, but he's always tweeting about cricket because he's had so much free time. So
that's nice. He's got an indie. Didi Harman is big into cricket.
Huge into
well.
Cricket, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but Lassie, was he born in England, or he certainly grew up here? So, you know.
Yeah, it's just strange. He's just not someone who I wouldn't say that he's kind of his family roots were in places of that were massively into cricket, and maybe spending that
am
time.
Am I
going
to have to start? Am I going to have to start guarding against you talking about cricket on this show the same way I have to guard against Andy Brassel, just constantly talking about European football?
I think so, yeah.
I think you might have to, so. Yeah.
You could sort of, maybe you could sort of bridge the two. I mean, Bolasie, sorry, he was actually born in France and he likes cricket. So is that too much for you, Luke? It's too much European and cricket chat right there.
Yeah, there's a reason that my nickname is Farage in the WhatsApp group.
Well, speaking of European football and transfers, Fikayo Tomori, of course, recently joined AC Milan on loan from Chelsea. He made his debut in the Coppa Italia quarterfinal the other day in that battle between Lukaku and Ibrahimovic. I love this. He said that he, in an interview recently, his mind was quickly made up when he received a phone call from Paolo Maldini.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it.
Whatever you are offering, Paolo, I'm in.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's got the same impact as it would have for someone kind of our age, but presumably it has.
No, but he did. I think he's 23, maybe, tomorrow.
Right, okay.
So he's a lot younger than us. But he said, I'm aware of the history of this club. And he started reeling them off, Nesta, Baresi, you know, all the defenders. And so he knows his history, by the sounds of it, about Milan. I mean, certainly with Paolo Maldini, he said, oh, one of the greatest defenders of all time. It's nice to see, Vish. Nice to hear that kind of stuff.
That reminds me of when United and Arsenal were courting Aaron Ramsey, and Arsenal, when he went to Arsenal to chat to them and visit them, Arsene Wenger took him around, and then when he went to Manchester United, it was Gary Neville. And then he signed for Arsenal with that.
No, I wanted the other Neville. Where is he? He wanted Fizzer. That's it. Fizzer would have sealed the deal 100%.
Probably in the cupboard.
That's why Beckham's got him in.
Was there not talk of Dele Alli didn't sign for Liverpool, or one of the reasons apparently is because they took him up to, I guess it would have been Melwood training ground. And they said, I'll let you know. And they were hoping to seal the deal by getting him to introduce him to Steven Gerrard, who was his hero at the time. And apparently Steven Gerrard was on like this quite strict schedule the day before a game where he would sleep all afternoon. And they didn't want to wake him up, so he didn't actually get to meet Steven Gerrard. Yeah, Vish, if you were going to get lined up to sign for your beloved Man United, what phone call would do it for you?
Eric Jemba.
Jemba Jemba. I was going to say Jemba Jemba.
That's nice, yeah.
Like yeah, that. Maybe a bit of Cleberson up in there.
But just to make me feel a bit better for promotion well above my talent level. Be like, look, I did it, mate. It's easy. Even if it's only for a year, you'll be fine.
I bet you feel a bit insecure about it. Allow me.
Yeah.
Marcus, marvelous. Would you think that if Fizzer could get you to sign for anyone if he just gave you a call?
Yeah, I think so. I might have to tell him to speak up a bit. But
would you save him as Fizzer in your phone?
Yeah. Maybe Fizzer Neville.
Would it be one of those where you'd have to put your phone on speaker but also put it to your ear?
Yeah.
Volume up. Right, Luke, it's time for Four to Score.
Yes, it is time for Betway's Four to Score. Sadly, Phil Fizzer Neville's not involved in this, but you know, never mind. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free. Each week you just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Game one is Southampton v Aston Villa on Saturday night. What a treat. That's how far we've fallen watching Southampton on a Saturday night. Marcus, you're up first. Who are you going for?
Jay Adams.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. He's really grown into Premier League life. I've enjoyed watching him develop, actually, because the season before, he kind of took a while to find his feet. Game two, Leicester v Leeds, Sunday, 2 o'clock. Vish, you're up with that one. Who have you gone for, Leicester versus Leeds? Bit of a barn burner, potentially.
Yeah, I think this would be a good game. I've gone for James Maddie Madison.
Nice. And took a while to select him, didn't you? Because you were flip-flopping all over the place in the build-up to this show record today.
I even went for Jose Perez.
No, don't start naming other players.
Hold on. I'm going to say this. Mason having a go at me for killing time. That's a bit rich. I'm four to score. Yeah.
I won't embarrass you too much, but to give you listeners the extent of how much Fish was flip-flopping around before his selection today. His first selection was actually Steve Claridge. Game three, West Ham v Liverpool. It's Sunday tea time. It's Jim Campbell up. Here's what he had to say.
Hello, Jim here. So hello to everybody apart from Carlos Tevez and Jeff Shreves. For Four to Score this weekend, I have got West Ham against Liverpool, and I'm going to go for Jared Bowen. I feel like he's due a goal. Obviously, with Joel Matip now missing, Liverpool could have some issues at the back, and West Ham are in good form, so I think they might strike first. So I'm going to go for Jared Bowen.
All right, so Jared Bowen. Interesting pick from Jim.
Yeah.
Like that. Very, very nice. And game four's me, Brighton v Spurs, Sunday night, a Sunday night treat. I've perhaps a little bit overconfident after my John Stones shout, but I wonder whether it is Carlos Vinicius' time to shine. So I've gone for him. I think he might start the game because I think they've got so many games kind of piled up. I wonder if he'll start this one against Brighton. I think he probably will. Sunday night, I've gone for Carlos Vinicius. So basically, for our four to score picks this week, Che Adams, James Maddison, Jarrod Bowen and Carlos Vinicius. If all of those players score first in those selected games, it'll be £50,000 to charity. But you can win £50,000 as well if you go and play at Betway's four to score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Okay, now it's time for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yes, indeed. It's time for Luke's game. We must have fire in our belly. We must have our head in the freezer collectively. Vish is already holding up offensive slogans to Marcus.
Well, I don't know, because I don't know what Tanakh means. I don't know what it is.
Very nice. So last week we had an interesting game. I mean, Andy shaded Kate Mason. It was closer than a lot of people anticipated. But Marcus Speller, you have kind of evolved into the Roger Federer of this game now. Yeah, yeah. And I think we've got Nick Kyrgios on the other side
yes.
of it with Nick today. The man who derides the game. He's the heel. He is no one's friend. He is like, he's Kevin no one's friend, if you were a referee. It's Marcus v. Vish. Let's get this party started. Vish, you get to go first. Everyone knows how the game's played now. I'm not going to bother with that. I'm going to go straight into it. Vish, you're up first. No cheating, no mucking around. Just pure, pure knowledge and grit and nerveless performance is what we need. The first player has played for 8 clubs in total. He retired. I think he retired this year. No, actually, no, he's still playing now. He is still playing now. Apologies. It's Klaas-Jan Huntelaar.
Ooh, Klaas-Jan Huntelaar.
8 clubs in total.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to start with 3.
That's a very conservative opening offer. Marcus, surely you're going to improve on that.
Surely I am. I'll go 4 then.
Do we hear 5 from you, Vish?
Ooh.
Do you want 5?
Marcus, do you 4.
Okay, Marcus, 4. One at a time, please. The clubs that Klaas-Jan Huntelaar has played for.
Okay. Ajax.
That's correct.
Real Madrid.
That's also correct.
AC Milan.
That is correct.
And this is the one I'm not sure about.
3 down, 1 to go, my friend.
This is annoying. Hamburg?
No, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not. That is a point to Vish. You were probably thinking of Schalke.
Oh, bollocks! Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So PSV is where he started his career. De Graafschap, AG0VV. I don't know what that is. Presumably some kind of Dutch club that he spent some time alone at. Heerenveen, Ajax, Real Madrid, Milan, Schalke. Ajax again. And I believe he's now at Schalke again, although I'm not sure if he's actually played for them the second time round, but it doesn't matter because he played for them the first time round. So that's 1-0 to Vish. Marcus, you're up first. Now, a little bit of a curveball this one, actually. Ooh. The algorithm's thrown up to us. He's only played for 4 clubs in total.
Right.
He retired in 2017. It's Paul Robinson.
Big Robbo?
Yeah.
Ooh.
4 clubs in total for Paul Robinson. I should make it absolutely clear, actually, that's Paul Robinson, the goalkeeper, not Paul Robinson, the fullback, who had the same name and also played in the Premier League. We want the goalkeeper here, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just in case anyone listening was confused by that.
Oh, this is annoying. I'll go 3.
That's a very nice bid, though. That very, very good. Vish, you're going to have to go the whole hog, or Marcus is going to name 3.
I feel like I have 3, and I feel like 4 would be a risk, but Marcus, name me 3.
Okay, Marcus, one at a time, please. You're going again. 3 clubs that Paul Robinson has played for.
Leeds United.
That's correct.
Tottenham Hotspur.
That's also correct.
Blackburn Rovers.
And there's your three. Well done.
Was the Birmingham club, City the other one?
It wasn't. If you had gone Birmingham City,
okay,
you would have lost a point.
Was it West Brom?
No, it wasn't. Okay. I was actually going to say, Vish, any idea? No, it wasn't. He actually turned out three league appearances for Burnley before he retired. That was the fourth club. So, yeah, Leeds, Spurs, that. Blackburn and Burnley. Okay, Vish, you're up first. You're up next. Nine clubs. This player is very, very well known, but he's played for nine clubs in total. Whoa. He retired in 2008. He is, as David Pleat used to call him, Terry Sheddingham. It's Teddy Sheringham.
Nine, I suppose, yeah.
It's 1-0. It's poised here. Fish, you could take the lineal championship here. You're in the hunt here, my friend. This bid is vital. Arguably the most important part of Luke's game is the first bid in the third player. You're right in the thick of it, right amongst it.
Five.
So how many of the nine are you going to bid for? Five. Did you say? Five. That's a good opening bid. Marcus, do I hear six from you?
You do.
Six. Vish, seven back at you. Marcus has gone for six. Can I hear seven from you?
He's gone for six. Oh.
Play along at home. Think of any you can name at home. I'll announce them all at the end so you know whether you've got any right or not. There's six with Marcus. Vish, can I have an answer from you? Reach seven, please.
Okay. Seven, seven, seven.
Tension's ratcheting up here. Absolutely ratcheting up. But I'm going to have to push you. I'm going to go straight to Marcus if you don't give me an answer now.
Yeah, go on, Marcus. Do yours.
Okay, another chance for Marcus to name some clubs. Six clubs, please, Marcus, that Teddy Sheringham, a.k.a. Terry Sheddingham, has played for. One at a time, please, if you don't mind.
Tottenham Hotspur.
That is obviously correct. That's one.
Manchester United.
That's also obviously correct. That's two.
Nottingham Forest.
Yes, indeed. Three.
Millwall.
Very good. Started his career there. Four.
West Ham United.
Absolutely. That's five. You're one away from 2-1 up. One more club.
Dewar Gardens.
Very good. Very good indeed. That
so I could
six.
Say Portsmouth. I could even say Colchester United. Now I'll go Dewar Gardens.
That would be your seven and eight. They're both correct as well. The last club you haven't named. Do you want to try and go for the full house? There's no extra points for it.
No, I didn't have that one.
He spent some time on loan at Aldershot.
Oh, did he? Oh,
that
yeah.
was his ninth. Oh. So that was his ninth. So very good, Marcus.
I had eight of the nine. I thought to myself, go on, Vish, say seven. Go on.
Is that Mark? I think listeners will be detecting something of a power play there. How's Vish going to react? How's Vish going to react? Find out now.
That's a Panenka and a penalty shootout. Yeah,
it was a bit. Okay, so this is the fourth player, which means Marcus gets to bid first. He is still playing football now at a professional level. He's played for eight clubs in total. It's Radamel Falcao.
Oh, Radamel.
Ooh. Radamel Falcao. Eight clubs in total.
Eight clubs, blimey.
Yeah, eight. As they say, if you can name all eight, I'll give you the money myself.
Okay.
Fish preparing his bid as well. Beavering away with his pen and paper. Taking the game seriously this week. Nice to see. He does care, really, everyone. He's just trying to be cool. Come on, Marcus, I need to push you for a bid now, please, mate. Quick game is a good game.
Six.
Six. That I tell you what, that is the very definition of fire in the belly, head in the freezer. That's the example you need to set.
I might have set it too high.
This is Alan Boxich all over again if he can deliver this. Vish, do you go seven clubs that Radamel Falcao's played for, or do you let Marcus name six? And I should remind you, if he does name the six, it's a win.
Yeah, why not? Let him have his six.
What? Okay, Marcus.
Okay.
Six clubs, please, one at a time, that Radamel Falcao has played for. Go ahead.
FC Porto.
That's correct. That's one.
Atletico Madrid.
Correct. Two.
Monaco.
Correct. Three. You're halfway there.
Chelsea.
That's four.
Manchester United.
That's five. One more for the 3-1 win.
This is the one. Galatasaray?
Marcus Speller wins!
There it is, it's a win for Marcus Speller.
Hello, baby. To be honest with you, Luke, I'm annoyed that I slipped up with Klaas-Jan Huntelaar.
Big
player goes home and looks himself in the mirror and say, what could I have done? Well, I could have been 4-0 up by now.
We have to start thinking up a new game because Marcus is untouchable. So the two teams that you didn't name were River Plate.
Yeah.
River. And he started his career at a club called Lanceros Boyacá, but I don't know if you'd have known that.
Yeah. River was the one I... Because when I saw River play 2005, I think. And he was actually in the squad, I think. So I could have gone seven there. It's a bit disappointing, Fish, but there we are. It was enough.
I had six. I had six for that, but I had River Plate instead of Galatasaray, yeah.
Okay. So, see, Vish, he's unlucky there.
Yeah, Vish, you'd have had a chance to go first with Matthew Upson, who's played for 11 clubs. How many of those could you have named?
11 clubs? 11?
Crazy, right?
What slag.
Yeah.
Fuck Matthew Upson. I don't know, like three?
Yeah, this is the funny thing. So when you say, Falcao, I think, okay, I could rattle a lot. Although Vish had six, to be fair, or Teddy Sheringham. When you think Upson, genuinely, like, bloody hell. 11 clubs, are you saying three?
Yeah. It's pathetic.
I mean, basically, name a mid-sized English club.
Of course. All right, well, I'll have a go with four then.
Go on, name your four then, Marcus. Let's fish you one, go five.
No, go.
Game's over, but go on, Marcus, go ahead.
Brighton.
That's correct.
Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, a mid-sized club.
Yeah, now I'm sort of struggling. Birmingham City?
Yeah, he played for Birmingham for a long while, yeah.
And then the last one, Matthew Upson. Did he play for Crystal Palace?
He did, yeah.
Did he play for Crystal Palace? What?
He did, yeah. So Luton Town, Arsenal, Nottingham Forest, Crystal Palace, Reading, Birmingham City, West Ham, Stoke, Brighton, Leicester, and ended his career at MK Dons. There you go, yeah. Marcus. Another compelling win for you. Pretty comprehensive. Vish, you need to go away and lick your wounds. Marcus is still the champion, still the number one seed. The only question people are asking is, can anyone get near him?
Well, I was fortunate with the luck of the draw against Andy Brassel, I'd say, so I'm sure he'll be gunning for me. Mm. There we are, ladies and gentlemen.
Shitbox.
there it is! Yeah. I thought to myself, you know what, I do like crushing Vish, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to crush his spirit completely.
Marcus, if he doesn't care so much, why does he try so hard? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Why did he have that scared little look?
It's just the right questions aren't coming up, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, that scared little look over his Chevy Chase. I knew I'd won before the game had even started.
It's nice though, isn't it, when you can skew the draw so you get everything on your serve though, isn't it? It must be nice doing that, yeah.
Yeah, you had three serves.
Hang on a minute. When you're bringing my name into disrepute here, that's where we're gonna have problems. You can do your nice new cute little picture of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer behind you, all you like, but he ain't gonna help you now.
Look, I know the ramble was better back in the day, but you don't have to take it out on me, do you?
Oh, it wasn't. Dude. I think people get very roasted about that. It was actually very poor back in the day.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us. Enjoy the football this weekend, of course, and we'll see you on Monday. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, Luke Moore.
Say goodbye, Vitusha Hantaraj.
Stick it up your Jackson.
Shake your body down to the ground, ladies and gentlemen. Goodbye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever
made that connection?
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.